Blog Talk Radio.
Greeting you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thanking God for another day, for this is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. We just thank God for this day as we come to worship Him and praise Him, because He's God Almighty. And there is no other God beside Him. There is no other God in the heavens. There is no other God in the universe. There is no other God in the highest heaven. There is no other God in the earth, on the earth, or beneath the earth. There is no other God in the abyss. There is no other God in the depths of the sea. As we come to worship Him in spirit and in truth, we just thank God for this day. We thank God for His goodness. We thank Him for His love, His kindness. We thank Him for giving of Himself goodness, love, kindness, and peace. And we just thank Him. We just praise and worship Him this day, for He's God Almighty, making all of this day possible as we come asking to search our heart and forgive us our sins, our trespasses, and forgive those had trespassed against us, and we just praise and worship him this day as we come to expound on his holy and divine word. When Paul was in Berea, Paul said that the Bereans was noble-minded. They searched the scriptures daily, and I encourage you to search the scriptures daily, just as the Bereans, because we search the word, and it is the word of God that sustains us and that keeps us. It is a light. It is a lamp, and a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And when Solomon writes this passage of scriptures, he writes, if we stop and take a look at it, because it's the word is light. The more word we have in our heart, the more words we have in our spirit, the more words we have, the more light we have. Because Jesus said that we're light. And when he said that we're light, we just can't take this as literal, that we're light, not just figurative, that we're light. He's saying that we're light, and the light, he said, I am the light of the world, because he is the light of the world. He said, I am the light of the world, and John writes, and the word became flesh, and he dwelt among us, and he speak of the word. He said, sanctify them with the truth. My word is truth. And so he's talking about the word of God, which is light. So it gives us more light as we have more light as we travel this throughout this life and this Christian walk. He gives us the light, and he is the light. He is the word of God. So we put the word in our hearts. When Paul was at Berea, since the Berean was noble-minded, they searched the scriptures daily, the word. And we thank God for that. We thank God for this next series that we're going into, because we just came out of a series as we looked at God, his force, diversity. When we looked at diversity, we came to a conclusion. One thing that we must keep in mind, as we looked, we saw how God dealt with Philemon, and Onesimus, and how God worked, and then we came to that part where we looked at his response to discrimination and prejudice, love like God, and celebrate diversity. We came to our understanding that God demands impartiality. As we walk in this Christian walk, we must keep in mind that God demands impartiality. Impartiality. God is no respecter of persons. Scripture tells us that. So he demands impartiality. He gave grace to the just as well as the unjust. He gave grace to us when we were dead in our trespasses. While we were yet sinners, Christ died in our place. He went to the cross. While we were yet sinners. And we just thank God. We praise him because he's no respecter of persons. So God demands impartiality. In God's eyes, all people are equally valued. And we just thank God for that. We thank God. And so as we continue in this passage of scripture, as we continue in these scriptures, we must stop and look at our relationship with God, our relationship with him. As we look at the relationship, he speaks to us in his word. He speaks to us in his word because when we see in his word, we come to a point in this series where we stop and look at a work in progress. A work in progress. That's our series for this week. A work in progress. As we look at a work in progress, let's get something in mind. If you ever went past a building, say in the city, we sit in the city a lot. Sometimes we sit in rural areas, but most of the time you sit in the cities. And when you're going through the city and there are construction sites, and you see the construction sites, you'll see signs, and the signs are something that say work in progress. You might be in a place where there's a building where there's a lot of offices and all, and they'll seal off one section of the office, and they say a work in progress. The building is still operating. This building is still, everything is still going on, but yet it's still there's work in progress. I worked in the healthcare and in the hospital and in large hospitals and the health system, and we go and sometimes they will come on our unit, and they'll seal one of our units off when they're working, and they will seal it off, and when they seal it off, they'd be working in one section of it, a portion of the unit that we use, but for a period of time they will seal it off, and when they seal it off and they lock it off and they put a sign up say work in progress, and so that tells us that the staff doesn't go into that section, and you cannot even access that section because they are working there, and they are building there, and they are working there, and only authorized people can go in and out of these areas, and no patients go in these areas because they're a work in progress.
And so when we see this word work in progress and we speak about this work in progress, let's keep this in mind, because it's just like a building. And our work is in progress. And another thing we must keep in mind, because a lot of people will use this as an excuse to sin. Because I heard people say, well, stand up, and they're standing before people in the public, and I've seen it happen many times. They stop and they'll say something, and they'll say something way out in left field, and they'll come back with, I'm still a work in progress. And they say, God ain't through working on me yet. Rationalize it. So you've heard that before. And we all have heard that before. We're standing up and making statements. And see, Paul warns us about using these coarse jesting and languages and all, and joking and all these. He warns us about it and tells us not to do it. And it's in Scripture. It warns us about coarse joking. So we all joke about things, and not saying that you don't never make a comment about something, but he's talking about getting into that old deep, coarse type joking and jesting. Then you come back and make an excuse with it. You know, sometimes my wife and I, we laugh and joke about things at home. And we laugh, and because when we plan, we laugh and we joke. We just don't sit around the house all day long, never making a comment, never saying anything, you know. But the thing about it is, we still a joke, but we don't get into that deep, all that old deep type stuff that, you know, that we talk about as far as you see people standing out front and joking about. So we play, but we have fun, but yet and still, it's not something that you just get up and say a lot of stuff and way out in left field and then come back and say, well, God is still working on me. Now, somebody say, you mean to tell me that when you're at home, you're different? No, that's not it. In a relationship, the two become one. And yet and still, there's time when you have fun. See, the Bible never tell you not to have fun. Keep that in mind. One of these days, we'll talk about the sociable Jesus. And sometimes we need to talk about the sociable Jesus, because we need to talk about him, because we get people locked into legalism. And tell them they can't have fun, because Jesus was sociable. And sometimes we stop and we look at the fact that he would be with the disciples and he would be with them and they would spend time together. They would have retreats. You think when they had retreats all the time, they went away just to sit back? And I'm quite sure they went through their routines, their daily routine, but yet still of prayer and all that they did. But yet still, they still had fun. When they were at Canaan, you'll find them also in Canaan. They are there, and they're at a wedding. That wedding's for 7 days. Don't think that wedding is everybody sitting around, oh, Jesus is coming, so we all going to sit around and do nothing. And it's because Jesus is here. No, the wedding is a gala affair. They were having fun. Jesus is without sin, and no sin, but he was there. And then when the Pharisees accuse him of being around other people, they make those accusations. So I say that. So sometimes we think we don't have a sociable Jesus. And so when we say that we cannot have fun, the Bible never said we can have fun. It tells us that it's good for the heart. You know, laughter is good for the heart. But the thing about it is, Paul warned about this coarse type, this vile, coarse type, obscene type jesting. That's what he warned about. Because I hear people do it. You hear them. I've seen people that are in the spotlight, that have various jobs in the system, in the world system, and they will come back and they will make these jokes, and they will come back and they say, well, God ain't through working on me yet. And then we have another that, see, and I'm talking about this before we start talking about the lesson, because sometimes we need to get this thing out I'm a work in progress, and using it in a way to rationalize negative, sinful behavior. See, sin is sin. You can't rationalize it. You can't justify it. You can't minimize it. Sin is sin. And sometimes we are bringing it into the house of God. And so before we get to the lesson about a work in progress, we need to understand that. And then I might make some more comments on it. Because I've seen it happen. So sometimes we look into the world system, we hear people say it. See, the world is going to say what they have to say. The world system, as the Bible defined the world system, say the world system, we said it before, is evil. It's rebellious. We must keep this in mind that the world system is rebellious. It is evil. So because sometimes we don't think about that. When Jesus is tempted, when Satan tempts Jesus, he takes him up and he shows him all the kingdom of the world. Why did he show him all the kingdom of the world? He showed him because he had usurped Adam authority, and he had the authority over the world system. He had the authority. And he said, I give you this, I give you this, I give you this if you worship me. All those idols, he pointed out all those things people idolize. It's evil. And so Jesus gave him the words. We said that the word is light. He gave him the word. So we can't stop and look at the world system and say, well, the world system laughs and jests and see all these things. We must keep this in mind, that the world system does these things. But when it comes into the church, when we come into the church, what happens in the church? The church will come and through the secularization of the Christian church in the 21st century, secularized Christian church, and I mean the 21st century. The 20th century, we first saw it. The 19th century, we saw a decline, but then it's to the 21st century. As we look at the 21st century, we'll see the secularization of it, and all of a sudden you'll find people coming into the church doing the same thing, making the same jokes, the same jests, and they will say, "Well, you know, God ain't through working on me yet." Paul said, "No, you can't do that. You can't do that." And I say that because we need to establish that as we lay the foundation there. We need to establish that. You can't come in saying that God is not through with me yet and look at it from a negative way and using something that is coarse and jested and all. But the truth is that when Jesus went to the cross, we must look to the cross. Work in progress is our topic. Since we done laid this foundation, we done landed this foundation, and we're looking at this, we're talking about a work in progress. So we look at this, we are a work in progress, but we don't come up and try to use other stuff outside of what's going on in Christ to justify the real work in progress, and that's what I'm saying. That is what I'm saying. Sometimes we'll go and we'll look outside for something in progress. We'll look outside and say, well, you know, oh, I can justify it. Well, you know, I'm still a work in progress. No, we can't look over there and do things and continue to do things until people and rationalize and say, God ain't through with me yet. And I hear it all the time, and we hear it. Are we perfect? No. No, we're not perfect. But then you have to keep in mind what happens here. John said, if you confess your sin, what? God is faithful, he's just, you forgive. That takes that area out. So that way you don't have to come up and say, I'm a work in progress. You go to God when you're sinning and you ask God to forgive. You ask God to forgive. And you ask him. Only God can forgive sin. And you can't stand before man and use rationalization and justification to continue to do something. Rationalizing behavior, rationalizing sin, justifying it, and coming back and telling yourself to lie. Because that's the lie that the enemy will tell you so you can continue in that behavior. And so you'll continue, and there's no growth. There's no maturity. And I said once before, and I've come to understand that is new birth, growth, and maturity. New birth, growth, and maturity. Nicodemus comes to Jesus. He asked Jesus a question. He asked him the question. He said, Jesus, tell him that you must be born again. When he asked the question, you must be born again. You must be born again. And then what happened is this. When we go there, we'll see something happening. And this work, this is what we're looking at. And it goes back to John. As we look in the third chapter 1 through 5, it says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher that comes from God, and no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Nicodemus is asking a question, and Jesus telling him, watch what Jesus tell him as far as when he's telling him about the Spirit. In verse number 8, he said, the wind which is wish, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot you can tell it where it comes from or where it goes. So everyone who's born of the Spirit, everyone is born of the Spirit. Verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Our work in progress. That's where we start. Our work in progress. That's what's born of the flesh is flesh, and that what is born of the Spirit is spirit. And so when we tell people that we are work in progress, this is what we're talking about. We're not talking. We're not speaking about, well, you know, I just said something, and I'm up here making all these negative comments, these bad comments, and these all these jokes and all of them. And I come back and say something very using all type of languages and all, and come back and say, look at you and tell you I'm a work in progress. Well, hey, God ain't through with me yet. See, I hear it all the time. You've heard it too. I've heard it. I know some well-known people. You know, I don't know them. I've heard them say it, and I really don't know them. I've listened to them on. You see them on the radio, and they be on these spiritual radios. These are they play spiritual music and gospel music, and they're standing there make that comment. God ain't through with me yet. No, he's not. He's working. He's working. He's working. But yet and still, he's not. But yet and still. This is what it is. Jesus give Nicodemus and give us the key. And watch what he say. He said, most surely I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. First of all, he said he must be born again. That's where the work starts. See, sometimes we think the work starts. Well, you know, I have to work this thing up. Paul let us know. That is not the work of the law. So I tell us right there that the law will not save us. It's not the law. It's not the work of the law. Somebody said, if I keep all the laws, James, if you break one law, you broke them all. If you come and you say, and Paul speak about, say, fornication and sexual immorality and all the things he speaks about when he speaks about the law. Somebody said, well, you know, Paul speaks about homosexuality and all this, and people say, oh, Paul ain't supposed to talk about that. You know, the Bible is, you know, it's talking about the Bible people. But yet and still, when it comes down to it, watch what Paul tells us when he's talking about eating food. And he's talking about eating food. He said, if it's not of faith, then it's sin. What? Is Paul, did you mean, oh, I thought he was talking about one of those things like murder and fornication and adultery and homosexuality. Paul comes back and talk about causing another convert to stumble, a new convert to stumble. He said, if it's not a faith, it's sin. What is he telling us? Paul said, if I'm standing there eating, let me use an example. I'm going to pick a group, a Muslim convert. A Muslim comes and he converts to Christianity. As a Muslim convert, converting to Christianity, and he's coming from an area where you don't eat pork. You don't eat pork. And I'm sitting there and I'm ministering to him and I'm talking with him. He's a new convert. He's a new convert. And what happens? And watch my conviction. If I'm not convicted, and my conscience doesn't look at this, and I'm sitting there, and I'm eating a plate of barbecue, and he walks in, and I'm sitting there, he sees me eating the plate of barbecue, and all of a sudden, and he's sitting there, and he's struggling with that, and causes him to struggle in his conscience. That's what Paul said. Remember what we said about the conscience? And all of a sudden, his conscience, he said, like, well, you know, I'm telling him, you know, don't, you know, you come on in and you on this new conversion. I say, I'm sitting there doing something that he's weak in. He's already weak in that area. He's weak in that area because he's what he just converted. If he converted, then what happened? And I stand there and I do something and cause him to sin. I just cause him to stumble. If I cause him to stumble, then Paul says, if it's not of faith, then it's sin. And I'm talking about him stumbling. He's talking about me sitting there doing something. As I done told him something. I told him, let him know about this new life in Christ, and he's still struggling. And he's still struggling. And so even though I can sit and eat that pork, he's still struggling with it. So what's the best thing for me to do? Best thing for me to do is what? Is not to mess with it when I'm around. Now, you know, if I'm sitting there, even though I like it, he might not never eat it. So that doesn't mean that I have to come up there when he's young. Because as we strengthen him, he gets stronger. He gets stronger. We can both sit there, and he can eat his plate of chicken, and I can eat a plate of goat or whatever he's going to eat, or a lamb, and I can sit there and eat my pork once he's strong. So Paul said, if it's not a faith, it's sin. So sometimes we stop. We must look at these things, because sometimes we come up with these things, and we start looking at great big ones, and then there's the little ones. And so what happens? So what happens? We sit there. And we look at unbelief. Unbelief is a sin. And I don't believe. Unbelief, doubting, unbelief, unbelief, unbelief is a sin. Unbelief is a sin. Grieving the Holy Spirit is a sin. Somebody said grieving? Oh yeah, grieving. Because it's not something that we will lose our relationship. We can come back and we can ask God to forgive us. Even there, because Paul told us in Thessalonians not to grieve him. He told us in Ephesians not to grieve him. Striving against him in Genesis, striving against him. So we're told these things, and so we must keep this in mind. Because when we talk about growth and work in progress, we are a work in progress. And so as we continue to look at this, because sometimes we'll stop and we'll find ourselves looking around, and point out big stuff and forget about my point is, sin is sin. Whether I should have done something and didn't do it, but still, they ask God to forgive me. It's just that simple. It's not something that we can come up and say, and we start looking at Pointy Spring. So that's why we must keep this in mind, because when Jesus tells Nicodemus, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom. Paul writes, and when he's talking about it, he said, you cannot enter the kingdom. Watch what he says about that, because sometimes we like to pick and choose when he's speaking about the sins. And he names them too. But the point is, being born again is growth, maturity, growth and maturity. Born, birth, growth and maturity. That's the work. That's the work in progress. And I think sometimes we think that, boy, I got to work. I got to go to work. No. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. It's the finished work of Christ Jesus. Yes. It's not something that, hey, oh, I got to get this work. Paul says, it's not about works. It's not about the work of the law. Paul says, Paul says, the just live by faith. James come back and say, show me your work. Show me your work, and I'll show you my faith. So I'll show me your work, and I'll show you your faith. So James is not saying something different. This is like back to back. It's just live by faith. The Apostle Paul said, it's not by the law. It's by faith. James says, show me your work. Show me your faith, and I'll show you my works. Show me your faith, and I'll show you my works. And somebody said, well, James talking opposite. No, he's not. He's not talking opposite. He said, I put faith in action. I'm putting faith in action. It's not something that, oh, I got to work it out. No, I'm putting faith in action. I'm being led by the Spirit. Am I saying not to grieve it? Not to grieve the Spirit? Not to strive with the Spirit? I'm walking in the Spirit. I'm led by the Spirit. I'm submitting to the Holy Spirit. And it's the work. It's the work. As I work it out, it's the Holy Spirit leading and guiding. Jesus let us know this. When we come to John, the 3rd chapter, verse number 5, we talk about the new birth. And it's the message of the kingdom. And this is what we must look at. Before we started coming up and talking about I'm a work in progress, trying to use something that the world system say and look at the world system, try to rationalize and justify sin. If it's not a faith, it's sin. If it's unbelieving, it's sin. And so as we look at this, let's keep this in mind. If you're not coming out of conviction, see, if it convict my conscience, if my conscience come under conviction, then I know it must be, the Spirit is telling me something. This must be sin. Because if I can just sit there and eat that plate of barbecue without no conviction and knowing that this young convert is struggling. So I sit there and I sit there before a young convert and do something that causes him to struggle or causes her to struggle, then it's sin. If it's not a faith, it's sin. And so, as we look at this, let's keep this in mind. Because new birth is where it began, the conversion, the new birth. And upon repentance, a new order of life opened to the believers in Jesus Christ. That is the work that we're going to look at. That's what he's talking about, this work in progress. It's not something that we come up and say, oh, boy, if it's just laboring at work, and James is saying, show me your work. No. I'll show you my works. He's not saying that. He's not telling you to get up and just go out there and do a lot of work. We got a lot of stuff going on all the time, all kind of programs and workshops and everything else, and people talking about how to purpose your life and how to do this and how to do that. Here goes the warning to go up again. Here goes a warning. The warning is legalism. People, it's very legalistic. Be aware of people using facts, force, fear. Facts, forces, and fear. And formulas. Don't leave the formula out. I almost left the formula out. It's, if you do this, 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 and then God will do this, this, and this. God, if you do this and this, and then you use a bunch of facts, and God will do this. Fear, put you in fear. And you're sitting there in fear and scared. And, if I don't do that, so God going to come and do this in my life. And give me a bunch of facts and fear and formulas, legalism. I'm very legalistic. Be aware. Because then you'll find yourself working. That's work. And somebody will come back and say, well, then you just say the law. Yeah, legalism. If I keep the law. Paul said, you can't win your salvation by keeping the law. The law is a tutor. It's a teacher. If I didn't, James, come back and tell you, say, if I didn't know say for instance, if I didn't know what murder was, see, if I didn't know what murder was, if I didn't know what stealing was, then it was that, but the law tell me not to steal, or not to kill. So now I know what it is, and so the law is going to do what? Punish me. And so that's what we must be looking at. So we're looking at these facts, forces and fear. People come and try to hold you. You won your salvation by work. You can't win your salvation by work. Paul points that out, that the just live by faith. Now, what did James say? James keeps just see what get people at a point that they said, James just said, show me your works. I'll show you my works. Show me your faith, he said. Show me your faith. Watch Paul, faith, and I'll show you my works. That's kind of confusing. No. James is talking about he's talking about the work of love, underlying work of love. That's what he's talking about. The works of love, the work of love. He's not talking about work of the law. See, and that's what we need to understand, because when we come up and talk about, so I work, and I'm going to work it out, I'm going to work it out, I'm working it out, and I'm in the process of working it out, I'm still working it out. What do you mean you're still working it out? How can you work it out? You can't work it out. It's a work in progress. How can you work it out? You have to ask yourself this question, because that's what a lot of people, a lot of time we get in the struggle. I'm so busy trying to work it out. I found out over the years, from personal experience, the more I try to control something, the more I lost control. Ask anybody that's in a recovery program, they'll tell you that. I've said that to many clients, and many people have sat before me, and we sit in groups and talk. The more you try to control, the more you lose control. What are you saying? The more you do work in trying to control things in your life, the more you lose control. You're just walking around trying to control everything, people, places, and things, and events, and everything. The more you try to control, the more you lose control. And that's why work doesn't work. What happens? You let go. Let go. And we sing songs about let go and let God have his way. Let go. Let go. And once we let go, then what happens? Out of fear, we think, oh, he's going to get all out of control. I got to do it. No, you let go. Let go. We're going to operate in faith. We're going to believe and trust God. And that's what Paul is talking about, that just live by faith. Quit trying to control everything, people, places, and things, and events. And when you find yourself, when I find myself trying to control it, I have to stop and let go and say, Father God, you're in control. You're in control. And remind myself that God is in control. Trying to control people, places, things, events, all the things around. Paul said to just live by faith. And what happens? Striving against the Spirit. The Spirit can't lead you. Quenching the Spirit can't lead you. Working against the Spirit. And so when Jesus speaks to Nicodemus, he tells him this. He let him know. So he's going to start this work in progress. We have to keep in mind, this is before Jesus goes to the cross. He's speaking to Nicodemus before. This is before he goes to the cross. He's heading toward the cross. He's moving toward the cross. He come, and the Word became flesh and tabernacle with us. He's moving toward the cross. He's moving toward the cross. Always got the cross. He's the cross. Looking to the cross. He's moving to the cross. It's not his time yet. It's not his time yet. So he's moving towards the cross. It's not his time yet. And so as you look, he's moving toward the cross. And he tells Nicodemus this. He said, this message of the kingdom. So upon repentance, a new order of life opens to the believer in Jesus Christ. And we must keep this in mind. This is the new order of life. And the Word became flesh and tabernacle with us. And John tells us, in him is life. And we go back to that. We have to look at all of this, because God's Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things was made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. Verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the life was the light of men. In him is life. We thank God for it. And so when they come here, this new birth, we repent, a new order of life open to the believing in Jesus Christ. And Jesus used the figure of new birth to dramatically indicate three things. Watch here. New birth must be born again. And here it is. Number one, without new birth, there's no life and no relationship with God.
Without new birth, there's no life and no relationship with God. And as we search the scriptures, we'll see it. In John 14:6, Jesus said in 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Without new birth, there is no life. No life. No life. Without new birth, there's no life. In him is life. Without new birth, there's no life. Somebody said, I thought I was working this thing out. You're a work in progress, but you've got to listen very closely. We must listen very closely. We're speaking about Christ Jesus. So we see, number one, without new birth, there's no life and no relationship with God. If you have not been born again, you have no relationship with God. There's no life. Number two, in new birth, new perspective comes as we see the kingdom of God. A new perspective. We see everything differently. It becomes new. Everything becomes new. Jesus answered in verse number 3. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom. We get a new perspective on life. We get a whole new perspective when we're born again. A new perspective. This work in progress. It's not by work of the law. It's not by facts, forces, and fear, and formulas. It's a new birth. Remember number one. Number one was what? Without new birth, there's no life, no relationship with God. Number two, a new birth, new perspective, and we see the kingdom of God. God's word become clear. God's word become clear. And as we said earlier, as a lamp is a light to our path. His word become clear. It's light. Light. It's light. Now I said earlier, if you're going to be walking through a dark area, a dark place, I have to stop and reflect. I reflect back when I was growing up as a kid, we didn't have a whole bunch of light. And I remember, and we used to live way back in the woods, like, and we used to have this old flashlight, you know. And we walk through the woods. One of those street lights, a flashlight, a little bit of flashlight, walking on the road with a flashlight. You can see people coming with flashlights. And one thing I've learned at that time living in the woods, a person smoking a cigarette for miles away, you can see a person coming because you can see the light from the cigarette. And I think sometimes a lot of people don't realize that. When I was in war, I was reminded that you won't be walking around through somewhere smoking a cigarette, even in dark, it'll light up, but it's a small light. And I said earlier, the more words you get, the more light you get. The more words you put into your heart, the more word, the more light. And the word is light. Jesus is light. And the word became flesh, and he tabernacled with us. And so as we look at the word of God, and new birth with a new perspective, and the word become clearer, and the Holy Spirit works and wonders, I believe, and experience faith is alive. See, that's what we're talking about, this faith. The Holy Spirit, back to the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit. And so when you grieve the Holy Spirit, you grieve God, the Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit is a person. We need to stop looking at the Holy Spirit as some emotion. The Holy Spirit is a person. And so we must keep in mind that the Holy Spirit ministry is in the earth today. So the Holy Spirit, that's why Jesus said must be born again. And as we look here, we see this. God, his word become clear, and the Holy Spirit works. The Holy Spirit works in wonders, a belief, and experience. Faith is alive. That's why Paul said it's just live by faith. It's not about the faith of man. We indwell with the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit in God's word. Holy Spirit speaking God's word. Giving light.
making it clear as far as the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, actualizing and making it clear, giving us light. It's not like walking through the woods with this little light, this little flashlight that we had, send a cigarette way down the way with a little bitty light on it. It's just like having a floodlight. Light up the whole area. Lighten up the whole area. And as we stop and look at this, that's why Jesus can speak this to us in John, the 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 5, when he's speaking to Nicodemus. We get light. And he said, unless, what did he say here? He said, the Spirit. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. He had to be born of water and the Spirit. And told the work of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit works and wonders, I believe, and experience. So you experience this. It's not an emotion. It's not something that you come along and you talk about. You experience it. It's something when somebody can come up and tell you about what they experience. When people can walk up and tell you how God worked in them, is working in them, how God brought them from one place to another, especially when you're going through. Because we have adversities in our life circumstances and all going on, and then this Christian comes and he tell you about what God have done, how God delivered them from out of these areas, how God brought them out, so he let them know about how God worked in him or her and brought them out. The experience, not the emotion, the experience. Well, how does the emotion play? Oh, the emotion can play because it brings joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my salvation. The joy that comes from the fruit of the Spirit is joy, peace, joy, love, peace, and joy. So I can see the joy. The joy. And then what? How about happiness? Sure, you can be happy because then happiness is the emotional side of it because God created us in his image. So we're happy. But we give God the glory. And so Jesus tells us in these passages of Scripture, the new birth, and as we look at it, in this new birth, and number 3, if we look at here, through the new birth, we are introduced, literally, we enter, verse 5, I just read to you, we enter, and here's the key here, to a new realm where God's new kingdom order can be realized. Watch what he said. He said, the kingdom of God. Through the new birth, we are introduced, literally, we enter to our new realm where God's new kingdom order can be realized. And as we look into the scripture, we'll see that. We'll see it somewhere over in Corinthians. And when we look in 1 Corinthians, and I'll give you the chapter here, 1 Corinthians 5:17. We can see this what Paul is speaking about it there, in 1 Corinthians 5:17. He tell us, I said 1 Corinthians, I mean 2 Corinthians. I'm saying 5 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 5:17. As we look there, we'll see it. Paul writes, as he tell us, therefore if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. That is what he's talking about. Talking about the kingdom. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. A new creation. Jesus tell us here, right here, in this passage of Scripture, number 5, Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say to you, unless you want it, born of water and of the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom. Paul writes, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So that tells us right there that we enter to a new realm for God's new kingdom order can be realized. So we enter the kingdom. New birth. Must be born again. Without new birth, there's no life and no relationship with God. But Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me.
So we must come. So that's not Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way to God. He is the way. He's the way to God. He is the truth, and He is the life. He is the way. No other way. The truth. He is the truth, and He is the life. In Him is life. God is life. I mean, God, and we're talking about an attribute. We're not talking about something that, when we talk about life, and, we're talking about the attribute of God. He is the source of life. And He is the source of the truth. He is the source of the way. These are attributes. These are divine attributes. And so as we look here, we see it. And Paul writes it here in 5:17. And in Christ, Paul's most characteristic expression of what it means to be a Christian. When you say in Christ, this is Paul's most characteristic expression of what it means to be a Christian. Christ's death and resurrection for us and our identification with Him by faith. By faith. And I pause there for a reason. Like I said, Christ's death and resurrection for us and our identification with Him by faith make existence as a new creation possible. That's how we become a new creation. His death, His resurrection for us and our identification with Him by faith make existence as a new creation possible. And at present, this new creation is only a partial experience. The already. You always hear me talk about the already. It's a partial experience. The already. But it is to be our focus as the completion of the recreation is assured. Our relationship with Christ affects every aspect of our life. The already and the not yet. Well, what's the not yet? Christ is coming back. Already and not yet. Christ is coming back. Identification is in Christ. He's coming back. Now, do I have to go to work out there and do something work? No. It's already. It's in Christ. Identification is in Christ. Because as He tells us, it's in Christ. We have this relationship with Him. We have this been born again. We have this relationship with Him. And in this relationship with Him, and we must keep in mind, without new birth, there's no life, no relationship with God. But we have a relationship with God, a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. New birth is more than simply being saved. We must keep this in mind. It's more than just being saved. Sometimes we say, I'm saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. It is more than just being saved. It's more. It's more than just being saved. This new birth is more than just being saved. And we must, as we look at this, it is our requalifying experience, opening up the possibility of our whole being to the supernatural dimension of life and fitting us for a beginning in God's kingdom order. And I said, we are kingdom agents. We're kingdom agents. We keep saying that. I'm an ambassador for Christ. I'm an ambassador. I represent Him. I'm a kingdom agent. Christ Jesus said when He ascended into the heaven, and He speaks to the disciples before His ascension, He said, all power and all authority in heaven and in earth has been given to Christ Jesus. He is the spiritual Adam. He is the new Adam. We have to keep this, we have to keep focused on this. Adam, us. Gave up His authority. Now Jesus Christ, our Lord, have all power and all authority. All power, all authority. And then what happens? He comes. He shed His precious blood for the remission of our sin. And the blood of Jesus, He made peace with God, and we claim the blood. We at peace with Him. We at peace with God. We at peace. In Romans. Chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, He let us know that we have this peace covenant. This is the blood. So we claim the blood. Then, not only that, through the blood, He gives us what? The word that we've been speaking about, the word that gives light. In Him is light.
He gives us the word. We have the word. We have the word of God. And the more word we put in, we have more light. The more light, we have more power, and more power, and more authority. And we have authority. That's why we are kingdom agents. We come speaking as kingdom agents. A work in progress already, and the not yet. What's the not yet? Jesus is coming back. He's coming back. And then when we look at that, then we'll see something here. We'll see that process that we talk about, that process that we always talk about, and Paul speaks about it. And here is the work in progress. Watch it very closely, because when we say it, Paul writes, and I must begin at verse number 3, Philippians chapter 1, verse number 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for all, making requests with joy. Always in every prayer of mine for you, all making requests with joy. For your fellowship in the gospel for the first day until now. Verse 6. Being very confident of this very thing, that which had begun a good work in you, and you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. That's the part. That's the passage of scripture that we will focus our attention to. Being confident of this very thing, that which has begun a good work in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. See, Paul right there. He writes it right there. Verse of Philippians 1:6. Underline good work. Notice this is a good work. And sometimes we sit there and somebody say, well, you know, I'm working on my, you have to work out your own soul and salvation, but then sitting there, leave you hanging right there. But Paul comes back and tell you to make something very clear to us here. Jesus made it clear to us in John verses 3:1-5. And so we know our relationship is in him. So Paul comes back and right here, and he tells us about this good work. And this good work is a word that we see, that we all see in his sanctification. And sanctification is not a denomination. You hear me say that all the time. It's not a denomination. Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 4:3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should be abstained from fornication. But get this, what he said right here. This is the will of God, even your sanctification. And he makes it real clear to us right there. Somebody say, you know, sometimes we ask ourselves questions about the sanctification. I come across people that always that being denomination, they call it, you know, they get very legalistic. No. Sanctification is not legalistic. Some people don't even understand sanctification. They get scared of it. They're afraid of it, but they don't understand it. And Paul right here, Paul is writing to us here. In Thessalonians 4:3, he talked about sanctification. Sanctification is holiness. Be ye holy. Be ye holy, for I'm holy. And as we look here, he's speaking about holiness. And this is not a denomination. God is holy, holy, holy. God is holy. And when he speaks to us in Romans, watch what he tells us in Romans. Because we quote the scripture and we look at it very closely. We quote it. And what he tells us in Romans is what? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, accepted to God, which is your reasonable service. Holy. He said, holy, present my body a living sacrifice. And then he said, holy. And so he let us know right there that we come presenting our body daily. And so we should offer our bodies, all that we are, as living sacrifice each day to God. This is the word of God. And he's telling us to offer our bodies each day. Each day, all who we are, our bodies, all that we, who we are. When he says bodies, what he's talking about in the translation of the Greek, all that we are as living sacrifice each day to God. And so we come offering this body up. We're people of God. And so if we look here, we should not offer like the Old Testament Jews did, but they offered animal sacrifices. Rather, we should offer all that we are as a living sacrifice each day to God. And this is what he writes to us here. Holy, living, he said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, accepted to God, which is your reasonable service. And as we look here, we see it. And so when we see sanctification, we see holiness. And that's, I think, a lot of times, that's why we stop sometime and we get real like, oh, I don't know what to do with this. So we try to do work. If I do work, it'll please God. No, he said, present this body as a living sacrifice. Jesus goes into the heavens. The scriptures tell us in Hebrews that when he goes into there, he entered into the holiest of holies. He entered the holiest of holies in the temple, in the tabernacle in heaven. He enters into the holiest of holies and sprinkles his precious blood once and for all. No more need for animal sacrifices. Now, Paul tells us that we present our bodies, all of ourselves to God as a living sacrifice daily. So he's saying when we get up, when we pray, we ask God, and he search us and we present this body as a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. And he says that's our reasonable service. And so when we see this holiness, this sanctification, this holiness, let's not get all scared and because people don't know how to deal with the word holy. Holiness. And people confuse it, but you got to be follow all these legalistic ways to present yourself holy. No, it's not legalism. I warned you about facts, formulas, and all this. When Paul speaks about the sanctification in the New Testament, it delineates three kinds of holiness. Positional holiness, watch it real closely, positional holiness, positional, in position. And then he also speaks of it here, Paul speaks about it here, progressive holiness and perfect holiness. Remember I said the already and the not yet? We talk about work in progress. And we cannot talk about work in progress without talking about sanctification. Remember when Jesus tells Nicodemus must be born again? That is positional. That's the conversion. That's the positional holiness. That's the positional holiness when we are born again. The positional holiness is when we are born again. And so, and as we look here, and we'll find it in 1 Corinthians 6:11, this positional holiness. In 1 Corinthians 6:11, Paul writes and he tells about it, this positional holiness. And so, as we look at it, let's look at it very closely. Because as we're talking about this work in progress, and sometimes we need to understand that 1 Corinthians 6:11, Paul say, he writes, let's go back up to verse number 10. He's talking about purity among believers. Let's go back to verse number 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Remember Jesus telling Nicodemus about the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such, and now watch here verse number 11, because sometimes when we read about these things, and we are stopping, we start talking about all these people that are fornicators and adulterers and effeminate and all this. But then Paul comes back and he put this inclusio here. And that's when he pointed back at us. And such which were some of you. See, Paul made that thing all inclusive. He made it all inclusive. That's why sometimes when I say when we're talking about things, we need to stop and take a look at ourselves. Paul said, let a man examine himself. Because it's easy to look at other people and forget about yourself. You have to look at where you came from before you were saved, before you were born again. Paul say he goes through all this list, and these are the ones we call the big ones. He brings out the big guns, you know. And then what happened is he come back and he hit us with one of these gut wrenches, and he say, and such were some of you. Oops, he just put me in that group. And such is some of you. But you are washed. But you are sanctified. But you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. Positional. Sanctification. Positional. That is what Paul is speaking about now. He said, you were just like them. Before you repented and came to Christ and was born again, you were just like them. And see, and that's what a lot of times we don't like to look at. We don't like to look at the fact that we were just like them at one time. We look at the world, sister, oh, look at the world, oh, look at the world, no, but yet and still, Paul said, you were just like them. Now, you examine yourself and you know what he's talking about. And we can all examine ourselves. We say, you know, we were just like them. We did all those things. We did some of those things. Not all those things. We did some of them. Because it was all inclusive. Because James, if you broke one law, watch here. James, if you broke one law, you broke them all. Somebody will, and see, and what happened in the world system like the zero in. I don't believe what the Apostle Paul said, especially here in the 21st century. And it come up, and Paul said something about the infeminate. Well, hold it. James said if you break one of them, you broke them all. What if he said about the drunkard? Think about it. You got people. I worked in the field of addiction. I was as an addiction specialist, and Paul say he said a drunkard will not enter into the kingdom. A drunkard. And if we get so caught up on fornication, adultery, homosexuality, and all that, Paul say a drunkard, a reviler, go out and party and partying all the time. So then. He comes back and tells us that if it's not of faith, it's sin. Remember I said earlier? Those little bitty things, those things that we never stop to think about. I'm sitting there eating my pork chop sandwich, and I have a new convert sitting there that just came in. That came from a religion, said not to eat pork, and I'm sitting in front of him eating a pork chop sandwich. If my conscience don't convict me, then it's sin. So that's why James comes. James said, hey, if you break one of them, you done broke them all. So we're talking about the sanctification, so it's positional. So when we look here, when we see it positional, then Paul goes on to tell us in his passage of scripture on sanctification in 1 Thessalonians 4:3, it is progressive. It is progressive. Now, we know what progressive means. So sometimes when we stop, we look at progressive, and we tell people that we're in process, this sanctification is progressive. And as we look at it very closely, it's positional and it's progressive. So when I say I'm a new, when I come talking about I've been new in Christ Jesus, a new creation, it's progressive. It's progressive. Working out, work in progress, or work in progress. And so, therefore, it is progressive. And Paul brings it out to us in Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verses number... I think I wanted to say 11, but let me take verse number 12 through 23. Make a note of that. 12 through 23. Paul started talking about let no sin reign in your mortal body. You should, and he said that you should obey it in the lust thereof. And then he goes on to talk about yielding the members. He's talking about sin, freedom from the sin power. All the way back down to verse number 23. And then he talked about Christian and grace and the spiritual and the spirit law. It is progressive.
It is progressive. So this work in progress is progressive. It is progressive. So when people stop and say, make the statement about, you hear people make the statement about, God ain't through with me yet. That's what they're talking about. It's progressive. But that doesn't give you the right to sin. Because when it comes here in Romans 6, Paul reminds us, he makes it very clear to us that we can't use that as an excuse to sin. I started not to read it, but I'm going back to look at it again. Verse number 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you shall obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as an instrument of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as an instrument of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. And he goes on to talk about this grace. That's why you can't make that excuse. Paul has already told us that we can't make that excuse. We can't just come up and tell people, say, well, I'm a work in progress, and God ain't through with me yet, so I say that. Because I heard something, watching a national television show, Holden Kathleen, on national television, and they're sitting there talking, not Kathleen, but Jenna Bush, I'm going to call them by name, they were on television talking, and they were talking about profanity, cursing, and they were just like, they read some report, somebody come up and do some clinical study that is not a clinical study, but somebody come up and interview five people and say, you know, we did this study, and they say, cursing is good for you. And they were just talking about this cursing. They were talking about how they curse, you know, how to make them feel good, how they, all, you know, they were talking. And I'm thinking, hold it. And he broadcasting this. It's okay to curse. It's okay to curse. It's okay to say a few words and curse words and all this. And I said to my children, and the children came in, and the children cursed. And I'm like, ooh, where did they learn that from? I'm thinking, oh, what did you just say? Now you're surprised when a kid cursed. I was babysitting, and I'm thinking, what, you know? But then people come back and say, well, I'm a work in progress. I'm a work in progress. No. You can't come up with somebody who's doing all these things and you're a work in progress. Paul just tells you that sin has no dominion over you. We're in Christ Jesus. Our identification is in Christ. Do that mean that we are perfect? No. We confess our sin. God is faithful. He's just to forgive us. And so we must keep this in mind. Sometimes people will tell you that. I say, well, listen, sometimes you can tell the difference. And you can tell the difference in the church if you look back in the early, say, 1960s, 70s. Go back before then. You can see the difference in the church during that time and now in the 21st century. Because a lot of things is liberal. Oh, it's okay to curse. It's okay to do this, at some time, people didn't see these things. People didn't see things in mixed company. People didn't do things in mixed company. And sometimes we say, "Well, you know, he's not still working on me yet." The Holy Spirit is working on us. Let's keep that in mind. Who is doing the work? It's the Holy Spirit that's transforming and renewing. He is the transformer. It's the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, the washing of the Word and the washing and the power of the Holy Spirit is transforming. And the washing of the blood. Jesus tells us about the blood. It must be born of what? He said, he made it very clear. Unless you're born of water and the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom. What is Jesus telling us here? And unless you are born of water and the Spirit, he tells us that. And so we can come up and act like, well, you know, God ain't still working with me yet. You're rationalizing, you're projecting, and you're minimizing, and you're possibly lying on God.
And so when we see this process of sanctification, and then there's perfect holiness. What's perfect holiness? And Thessalonians 3:13, we're sitting in 3:13. Perfect holiness and 3:13. Paul writes in 3:13, is he right there? He prayed for the church. To the end, he has established your heart unblameable in holiness before God. Even our Father is coming at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Christ is coming back. And then it'll be complete. So now we see sanctification is what? It's positional. It's progressive. Now here's he's working. He's with the Holy Spirit transforming, renewing. And we are what? Been led by the Spirit. Been taught by the Spirit. Have submitted to the Spirit. And let go. And he is directing our lives. And he will continue to work it to completion. And completion, then we'll see God face to face. We'll see him face to face. That's the foundation. That is the foundation. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit. It's God's Spirit. God's Spirit at work in us. It's God's Spirit. And so and it's not by works, not by my works, and it's not by the work of the law. And Jesus tells us that it is his Spirit. It's the Spirit of God. We have the Spirit of adoption, and it's the Holy Spirit at work in us. And so as we look as God's power is at work in us. God's power at work in us. So we have identification. Our identification is in Christ, and towards the sanctification and God's Spirit, God's power. We say, and that's the Holy Spirit, God's power. It's God's power at work in us. God's power at work in us. And so when we see this, when we look at this, let's keep this in mind. Because when we come up and we say, try to rationalize it and minimize it and do all those things, we must stop and look at this very closely, because you can't rationalize it, you can't minimize it, you can't make excuses for it. Because when it comes to this work in progress, we must look at the fact that God power is working in us. Sanctification is positional, born again, born into the kingdom. It is progressive, and it is complete. When we see Jesus face to face when he returns, and he's coming back, when he returns, Thessalonians tell us that. 1 Thessalonians 4:3, Paul speaks about this sanctification. In Corinthians, he speaks about this progressive sanctification. And that's when we can stand before each other. And that's why people can say, I'm a saint. People, why do they say they call themselves saint? Why do they call themselves believers? I'm a believer. If you're a saint, you're a believer. I'm a believer. You're saying you're a believer. You follow Christ Jesus. I believe. I follow Christ. I am being led by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And it's God's work. And that's where it's at. My identification is in Christ. Ephesians. We go to Ephesians. We talk about the identification in Christ. Ephesians chapter 1. Read it very closely. In Christ. Paul speaks about our identification in Christ. And then his work. God's power working in us. I was reading Chin's book on the forgotten God. He called it the forgotten God. See, people, you know, it's the Holy Spirit, and we tend to forget the
that the Holy Spirit is God, God working in us. We've been indwelt by the Holy Spirit, the Word, the finished work of Jesus Christ. And we must go and see what Jesus said about it. When we read it out of in John, the Gospel according to John, in chapter 6, verse number 29, Jesus is speaking, and he's talking about the bread from heaven. And these people are questioning him, and these Pharisees, they're questioning him. And then what happens is Jesus give an answer here. Verse number 28, 6:28. Then they said to him, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" They asked the question because they are thinking very legalistic. What must we do to work the work of God? They asked this question. But look at what Jesus said to them before he got there in verse 26. Jesus answered them and said, "Moses, most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the sign, but because you ate of the loaves and was filled." Speaking about the loaves, he just fed them. He said, "But do not labor for the food which perish, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. And the Father is one." And so they asked the question. Then they said to him, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" They still think they got to do some work. Jesus answered. Now here's the passage of scripture, our background scripture to go from. Jesus answered and said to him, "This is the work of God." Want to know what the work of God? This is the work of God. That's what he said. This is the work of God. And I said with the pause because I want you to understand what the work of God is. And he just said, this is what it is. This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. That's the work. That you believe in Christ Jesus. That you believe in Christ Jesus. This is the work of God. And then he goes on to say, "Therefore they said to him, what sign will you perform then that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do?" I think they're still a little bit in the dark there. He just told them to believe. They're still looking for a sign. They're still looking for signs. Signs and wonders. Signs and wonders. Jesus says signs and wonders will follow us. He tells us that. But that's not for us. That's validate who he is. That's validate that the Spirit is working. Signs and wonders. That's a validation of the presence of the Almighty God, that the Holy Spirit is at work. Not anything that we did that we can take credit for. And so they ask the same old question. The people place primary emphasis on their work for God. On their work for God. We have to be real careful with that. I'm a work in progress, but yet and still sometimes I have to put my work for God. I'm, you know, it's work in progress and I got to do this work. And here, these people, they're putting their emphasis on that. Their primary emphasis. These people place primary emphasis on their work for God and on God's work for God and on God's work for them. God work for them. You know what it is? On God work for them, which what? Signs. Show us a sign. And sometimes we go looking for signs and wonders. So we find ourselves going, getting tossed to and fro. Looking for a sign. And Jesus told us to believe. And so as we look here, looking for a sign. Jesus' single focus is on what? Believing in the one whom God sent. That's it. We believe on Christ Jesus.
That is what he's telling us. Believe on the one that God sent. Believe on the one that God sent. And this is what he's telling us. He's telling us, when we talk about this work, he's telling us. He's telling us to believe, to believe. Believe, that is trusting. Trusting in the one whom God sent. Trust God. We trust God and leave all the circumstances to him. Trust in God. We believe on Christ Jesus and being led by the Spirit. Being led by the Holy Spirit. Being led by the Holy Spirit. Walking by faith and believing on Christ Jesus. The finished work of Christ Jesus. Yes, and that's what he tells us. So when we say we're a work in progress, keep in mind the progress is what? The process of sanctification. And the process of sanctification is when we come to Jesus and we surrender our life and our will to him, and ask Christ to come into our heart, been born again, and then what happens? We see the process begin, positional, and it starts. And we stay in the Word, and we're led by the Spirit. We're forgiven, we're completely forgiven, and we are led by the Spirit. And so we're walking in what? We're walking in love. And it's the graces that the Holy Spirit is manifestation and actualizing in our life. It's not something that we just come up and make joke about. And we need to take it out of our vocabulary. Then people, you know, if I said something, I try to rationalize it. You know, I'm just a work in progress. No. Because greater is he that was in me than he's in the world. Jesus tell us, and he spoke to us, he told us what it was going to take. He didn't leave nothing out because he told us and he let us know. That he was not going to leave us here by ourselves, and that he will send the Holy Spirit, and he sent the Holy Spirit, and as we search the scriptures, let's keep this in mind because he did not leave us by ourselves. He sent the help of the Holy Spirit. He gave us this gift, and he let us know here in this gift of peace. He said, these things I've spoken to you, whispered, while present with you. But the helper, speaking of the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, bring to you remembrance all things that I've said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I've given you, not as the world gives do I give for you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. And so as he speak to us, he said he left, but he sent the helper. He sent the helper, the Holy Spirit. And so we keep this in mind now, because when we say there's a work in progress, God will complete a good work, and he said a good work. And we trust in God sent. And he's telling us right there, for this work in progress, we trust in the one, Jesus Christ, that God sent. And he sent Christ Jesus for this purpose. And he came and he went to the cross for this purpose. God will begin a good work in us. And he began this good work in us. Is throughout our whole lifetime, we'll finish it when we meet him face to face. And he will finish it when we meet him face to face. And we must keep focus on this. The God who began a good work in us, he began this good work in us, it is for a lifetime. It's for our lifetime. It's for our lifetime. And we'll finish it when we meet him face to face. That's when it'll be finished. They're all ready and they're not yet. They're all ready and they're not yet. So God work in us. God is working in us. And we just thank God for that. We thank God for our identity in Christ Jesus. God power at work in us. It's Reverend Frankie Dorsey in the word of my pastor, Reverend Dr. Doris Dorsey. We thank you for joining in with us as we continue to search the scripture. Our work in progress. God bless.